Chal, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Tes, 1-9. This Mishnah has one basic point, which is the halachas that apply to Truma apply equally to Challah. And the Mishnah now will list 10 different things that apply uniquely to Challah and Truma collectively, as opposed to other foods. It starts out by saying, HaChalav HaTruma, both Challah and Truma, are number one, Chayavin Alein Misa. There is a death penalty, Misa B'dei Shemaim, death at the hands of heaven, meaning premature death, that applies to one who intentionally eats Truma or Challah. And V'chomesh, that's a lach of Chomesh. Chomesh, you'll recall from Maseches Trumos, is if a person inadvertently, B'shogeg, eats Truma or Challah, he has to make compensation, not just by repaying the Kohen from whom effectively he stole that Truma, but whether or not there's a Kohen who from whom he stole, a person has to achieve atonement by recreating that Truma, if you will, by taking chulin musukanim, ready-to-eat food, and replacing it and designating that as Truma in its place, but also adding a surcharge of a chomesh. And the chomesh means that for every 4 units of value that one consumed inadvertently, he has to add a 5th unit. So for example, if a person ate 4 grapes that were Truma, he has to return not 4 but 5 grapes to being Truma. So then chomesh is the 5th one, 25%. That applies equally to challah. So if one ate 4 ounces of challah, he'd have to replace it with 5 ounces of challah. 5 ounces of bread, I should say, to the kohen. Now, v'asurim lazarim, both challah and truma are forbidden to non-kohanim. The truth is, as the bartender points out, this is essentially gratuitous, since once you've established the previous 2 points, that there's a rule of misa b'dei shemayim and chomesh, if it's mezid or shogig, respectively, so then of course it's forbidden to non-kohanim, who are the ones who are going to be getting that misa b'dei shemayim, or have to pay back the chomesh if they ate it. That's what applies to non-kohanim. Bartender suggests that at least according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that echatzi shir is doraisa, that is to say, according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though the Torah doesn't require you to receive a certain punishment, under certain scenarios, like for example, if one eats less than a kazayas, it's not considered to be an act of eating. So although eating less than a kazayas does not carry with it the penalty of misa b'dei shemayim, a kazayas, an olive's bulk of an olive's volume of truma, notwithstanding, if one eats half an olive's volume of truma, he still is violating isra d'oraisa, although no consequences per se. So at least then it's saying, it's according to Yochanan, at least it's saying, FYI, you should know that it's forbidden to a czar even at the chatzi shira, even at less than a kazayas amount, etc. Okay. The Mishnah continues by saying, V'heim nichse kohen, the gift that you give to the kohen, the truma gift or the challah gift that you give the kohen, it's his property. So that is to say, in contrast to, say, for example, Meiser Sheni we just had, which is not yours, when it comes to truma or challah, it is the property of the kohen, meaning a kohen, let's say, if he had more dough than he needed, he could sell it to his fellow kohen, take the money, and the money that he receives doesn't have kedusha, meaning unlike, let's say, if he would have sold Meiser Sheni, or he would sell Shemitah produce, which has sanctity, then the money carries the same restrictions as the original foodstuff. Not true when it comes to truma and challah. If a person, a kohen, sells truma or challah, he can use the proceeds that he receives for that sale and to purchase whatever he wants. It's his money. Va'olin be'echer u'meya. The rule is, as we've said before, that when it comes to mixtures of chulin and truma together, the normal rules of mixtures of tarovas don't apply. Under normal circumstances, midoraisa, if you have a mixture of 2 dry things, as long as you have a simple majority of permitted substance against the permitted substance, then the whole combination of mixture is considered to be permitted. Bittel barov. But and then if you have a mixture of tastes, then you would only need 60 times of the permitted against the forbidden. That's familiar to us. But when it comes to truma, the standards are higher yet. You have to have, loosely speaking, 100 times of permitted chulin against 1 unit of forbidden truma to make the mixture permitted to a non-kohen. The truth is, technically speaking, actually, as long as you have 99 and a bit units of kulin against one unit of truma, it would be permitted. Okay, but that's what it means here. And utu'unin rechitzas yadaim. Before you eat truma or challah, you have to first wash your hands. You'll recall that there was 18 gezeiras, special rules that were set up in one particular event when Beis Shammai outnumbered Beis Hillel. It's a famous sugya in the beginning of Shabbos there. And one of the things they said is that stam yadaim, unwashed hands, are always going to be considered to be a sheni l'tumah, a second-degree tumah status, unless you know that they're still clean, unless you wash them. So that means every time one eats truma or challah, since truma or challah can become pasul, become invalidated, if even a sheni touches the truma, and your hands are shniyim, your hands are second-degree tumah if you haven't washed them. Therefore, there's a requirement to wash your hands every time before you eat truma or challah. An echo of that is today when we wash our hands for bread, we're washing our hands to remember that the Kohanim had to wash their hands before they ate their truma, bread, or challah. Next, the Mishnah says, v'harav shemesh, you need harav shemesh. Harav shemesh means that if a person were tame, let's say for any tuma, he was a zav or he touched a dead rat, etc., so then he'll need to go to the mikvah at the end of the process, which could be the same day or 7 days later, it doesn't matter. He goes to the mikvah, and then after he comes out the mikvah as a tevul yom, as a person who's been to the mikvah on that day, he is still sullied with a vestige of tumah. He's a shein l'tumah. He's got a second degree tumah status, effectively, and he may not eat from truma or challah until he has the three stars come out at the end of the day. Once that day is gone, harav shemesh, which I'll translate loosely now as three stars coming out, at that point, even the vestige of tumah is gone, and he's permitted once again to eat truma and challah. This is referenced in the very first Mishnah in all of Shas, which says, Memes like Korin as a Shema Ba'arvis, from when does one eat, say Kriya Shema in the evening, I should say. And the answer is, Misha Shekohanim Nechnasan Lechel B'Trumasan, from the time the Kohanim come eat, to eat their Truma, which is Tzeitz Kochavim, which is referring to the fact that the Kohanim can't eat Truma until Tzeitz, till the stars come out, three medium-sized stars. And that's what it means over here too. So one who's a sheni can't eat until even after the mikvah until three stars have come out. Ve'ein nitalen min hatar latame, a separate additional rule. When one takes truma, so obviously the rule is you're supposed to take, let's say, truma gadola. You're taking one unit of truma for every 50 units that you have that need to be tithed. So for every 50, you'll take one, which means you're leaving 49 of the 50 as now tithe produce. Now, the rule is that when one does that, it's supposed to be min ha-mukaf. These 50 units are meant to be together, meaning, like, let's say, in the same room together. Under normal circumstances, we'll see more about that in the next parak, actually. But in any case, so when you identify the one unit that you're taking as truma, you make the other units now given over to being the chulin, and anyone can eat them. So the halachic status of both tame and tahor produce is the same in as much as both need to have truma taken from them. But the truma has a very different rule if it's tame or if it's tahor. If the truma is tame, then it must be given to a kohen still, but the kohen cannot eat it. He can just burn it, use it as a fuel source. Whereas if you give him tahor food, then he can, of course, eat that food, and he has to protect it from becoming tame. Our Mishnah is coming to say that if you have two batches of food, let's say for argument's sake, you had 50 tahor grapes and 50 tame grapes, for a total of 100 grapes. So you might think, listen, I'm doing the Kohen a great favor. I'll take two grapes that are tahor and separate them as the truma, meaning I'll take one of the grapes from the tahor batch on behalf of the tame batch. That's really a win-win, you might think, because as far as you're concerned, so you'll have one more grape that's tame, and you'll eat it because you can eat tame grapes, no problem. And the Kohen will get two grapes that are tahor, so he's also a winner. Everything's great. So you might think that's good, but the rabbi said not to do that, that you shouldn't take from the tahor, from the 50 tahor ones, a grape on behalf of the tame, one of the 50 tame grapes. And the reason why is because we're afraid that since min ha-mukaf, the requirement to keep all the food that you're tithing close together, you might be afraid to do that in the case where you have tame and tahor produce mixed, because you don't want your truma that tahor to become tame. And that being the case, you won't fulfill the mitzvah of min ha-mukaf, of keeping all the food that you're tithing together close together. You'll keep, like, you know, a Chinese wall between the two, which would be no good. And therefore, the rabbi said, to make sure you keep the mukaf halacha, which is a halacha d'oraisa, you will not take even from tahor even tower from tame, which you think is a benefit to the kohen, but no, we're not letting you do it because we're afraid you won't keep the mokav requirement. Ella says the Mishnah, min ha-mokav, you always have to do it. Min ha-mokav, having mukaf means, it doesn't translate exactly. It means close by and next to. So, says the Bartanur. So, that being the case, the halacha is whenever you take truma or challah, you have to take from a batch of foodstuff that is min ha-mokav, as I'll define a little more in the next parak. Fine. And finally, umin ha-davar ha-gamur, when you take your truma or your challah, you're supposed to take it from produce that has been finished from being processed. So in the case of challah, it's really straightforward. It means once you finish kneading the dough, it's finished being kneaded, and you'll give that to the kohen, as opposed to when you the first water comes in. When it comes to truma, it's just gemar malach in general, the finishing the processing, which means, for example, if you are producing olive oil, so then you shouldn't give the kohen olives and say, make your own oil. No, you should first press the oil and then give him from oil. Same with wine. If you're making wine, don't give him grapes, give him wine. If you're giving him wheat, let's say, so you do it once you've done all the malachas that are prior to smoothing over the pile, which is the gemar malacha for grain, which would mean including, you're after your thresh and winnow and sort, etc., then you have grain, you'll give that processed grain to the kohen. The Mishnah continues on by saying, Ha'omer kol gorani truma v'choli sasi chala. If a person says, my entire goren, my entire harvest, I'll translate loosely, is truma, or kol isasi chala, or my entire dough is chala, lo amar klum, he said nothing. Why is that? Although there's no real minimum or maximum of how much midoraisa you can take for chala or truma, it has to be that you're taking something from something else. So although it's true you could give 99.9% of your crop as truma, or 99.9% of your dough as challah, and similarly midoraisa, you could give one tiny grain on your entire 10-acre field as truma, etc. That's true all midoraisa, but you can't say the entire crop or the entire dough is truma or challah respectively, because then you're not taking something from something else, and that's what the Torah requires. You take some. That being the case, it doesn't count. Aj yishar miktsas, it only works if you leave something behind. So if you have a million kernels of wheat, you could give 999,999 as truma, etc. But you must leave that one kernel behind, or the one bit of dough behind, for the separating of truma or challah to be effective.